Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. In the news, behind the news, it's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And as Ephesians 2:5-6 says, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. End quote. Wow. What is happening in America today? You saw what happened to Judge Kavanaugh. You saw and have seen what's been happening to President Trump. Some of you have seen what has happened to Representative Heather Scott in Idaho. And now, with what is, without question, the most vitriolic, hateful smear that I have ever experienced is happening now to yours truly here in Spokane County, Washington. I want to make a couple of statements very briefly. First of all, as I have said on this show many times, I have been so clear on this. I am going to say it again, that racism has no place in Christian ideology. It just doesn't. Anti-Semitism doesn't. This is one of the reasons I am one of the most pro-Israel legislators out there. First to recognize Israel as far as its 70th anniversary with a resolution here in Washington State. A resolution, by the way, that the Democrat Speaker of the House refused to bring up as a House resolution. We had to do it as an individual caucus. The media said nothing about that. Also had a bipartisan bill, anti-BDS, Boycott, Divest, Sanctions movement. This is the movement to essentially strangle Israel economically. And I had a bill that was bipartisan to stop that. The Speaker killed that bill too. And the media said nothing. My good friend, Pastor Doug Taft, Reverend Matthew Cummings, great friends, great Christian brothers, who happen to be black. And you only hear the division coming from the other side of the aisle on this stuff. Because they are afraid of my record. They are afraid of my effectiveness. They're afraid of what we were able to accomplish with Hearst. Now, I use the term my, but my means a team. There is a team of people and supporters that work very hard behind the scenes to make all this stuff happen. But they're aiming at me right now because they are afraid, ultimately, of all of you that have woke up and know what's going on in this country, that voted for President Trump, and he went there and did what he said he was going to do. You vote for me because I go to Olympia and do what I say I'm going to do. And there are some people out there that are cowardly, that won't do that stuff. They'll say what they think is the right thing to say in that moment, instead of standing on principle. And that is why you, me, all of us together are so frightening to these people. Because if we stand together, they cannot and will not win. In fact, we are winning. And you know something? It's been fun. We've been winning a lot. And we're going to keep winning. I don't want to overstate this, But I have been all over the country. There are patriots waking up everywhere. People that love God, that love our Lord Jesus Christ, that love our Constitution, and that love America. I love America. I loved it so much that I spent 10 years of my life in service to this country in the military because it's worth defending. And it is worth defending against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And the Marxist and Islamic counterstates that have come against this country and everything that we hold dear, that is what we need to stand against. And right now in this time, when all the arrows are being flung and people are falling off to the side, we are called with the armor of God on to stand in Ephesians 6. And stand we must, and stand we will. Without blinking, without stepping to the right or to the left, just standing. The enemy that comes against us is defeated. We need to act like the sons and daughters of the living God that we are. Some people say that they've been praying for us, and I really thank you for that. Victoria really thanks you for that. We talked about it last night. The prayers this election have been just tremendous. In many respects, more than we've seen. People just calling and just giving some positive feedback, and it's been wonderful. And we all are going to play our part for where our country is headed right now. And all the parts that we do have to play will be done locally. We will defend freedom locally. We will stand or fall locally. Now, I know in this area of the country, the American Redoubt, that we're going to stand because we're already doing it. But I want to challenge everyone listening today. It's not going to be a president or a governor or state representative or county commissioner. It's going to be all of us getting off the couch and standing on the line. And I really want to thank Pastor Ken Peters of Covenant Church, a man of integrity who stood on the line and has been standing on the line for a while now. It's not easy because when you stand on the line, you get hit. You get shots fired at you. Spiritually, and you get threats. But we're called to stand on the line. And I hope that all of you are encouraged, you are emboldened as Christians, that when you are attacked quite literally for your faith, quite literally for the words of the Old Testament, quite literally, that not only should we be joyful, but it should encourage us to the point that we redouble our efforts in standing on that line. This is what Americans do. This is the time in our history that God has called us to be in. He knew before the beginning of time that we would be here right now for this purpose. And I tell you that that is encouraging to me. It is very encouraging to me. And part of standing on that line too, and this is super hard, but you have to forgive those while you're standing. You have to forgive those who are throwing the rocks at you, who are shooting the arrows at you. And you also got to bless them. There were a lot of curses today that needed to be blessed. And there were a lot of or people that were cursing today that needed to be blessed. Let me be very specific. And a lot of people today who were threatening harm that needed to be blessed and forgiven. And ultimately, I hope that, and I pray that truth and accountability occur in these situations for those people doing that. But that's the outcome, and we're supposed to leave the outcome to the Lord. And all we're really supposed to do is fight. All my political beliefs, and I know most of your political beliefs, are about faith in Jesus Christ and love. And all the attempts right now by people to divide this country are a distraction because they know that we're being effective, they know we're being successful, especially 5 days before the election. And unfortunately, it might get worse. Now, I know many of you have served this community, as have I. And the many of you believe that there's worth and dignity in every human being, born and unborn. And I think that that's where I'll leave it today, that we that love all human beings because they represent a potential for the expansion of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They represent a potential for giving God glory and honor and praise. That is worth something. And all life is worth something. It's worth fighting for, as is this country and liberty. And I hope all of you join me today in acknowledging that and redoubling your efforts in your families, redoubling your efforts in your businesses, redoubling your efforts in your churches, redoubling your efforts wherever God is putting you to glorify and honor and praise Him, to bless those who curse us, but to not let those attacks back us down in any way so that we continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of nations, to show tangible love to one another, and to love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, Brazil, the media, well, I mean, this is not just limited to the United States, attacking Jair Bolsonaro as a far-right politician down there. And finally, Brazil is getting back on track after this wave of corruptions, by the way, of socialist politicians. Important to keep that in mind. All right, moving to China. If you hadn't heard about this hardware infiltration of computers, not software, not firmware, but hardware infiltration of computers. Actually, it put a little tiny, very hard to see and detect device. They got busted doing that. And then one of their agents allegedly got arrested for economic espionage. So keep in mind what China is doing right now. They are trying right now to win the intelligence war against the United States of America. All right, let's move to the Middle East. Now, we've talked about the Iran, Turkey, Qatar, and now Jordan looks like it's angling in the direction of Turkey versus the United States, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Egypt, Bahrain. What we're seeing now, and this is coming to us from Debcafile, is that the Middle East is bracing right now for trouble from Iran over these impending oil sanctions that go into effect on November 6th. This is the day before the election. Okay? Quote, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that the Iranians and the Turks, okay, they're gonna work together, and even though one is Shia, one is Sunni, they're going to work together until they get to a point where then they fight internally over who takes control of the whole thing. All right. The threat of a forceful Iranian response to the United States embargo on its oil sales, okay, comes from their foreign minister, Mohammad Javid or Javad Zarif, okay? Unfortunately, a law-breaking country seeks to punish a country that abides by the law. This method will have severe consequences for the world order. Interesting. And the way Debka is analyzing this could result in a military attack on U.S. or Arab ally Middle East targets or Israel. Or all of the above in successive stages. So they used to have the Iranians exploding speedboats. Now they have Sage drones, and they're probably going to use those drones for whatever is coming. So stay tuned. Things are going to get very, very interesting. All right. Also on the international front, the Gaza Strip, an exchange of significant missile and rocket fire between Gaza and Israel and the IDF. I expect that probably to continue as again, things happen around the world right before the election because people are all trying, every country's trying to influence the U.S. election that has the ability to do so. So interesting. Everybody focuses on Russia, but there are more interests out there than just Russia. Wow. All right. On the national front, if you haven't read the document called Pearl Harbor 2.0, I posted this up on Patriot Radio. You should read it. It is a phenomenal outline of how the Russians in particular, but other nations have done this too, put into their war planning documents the use of EMP or electromagnetic pulses as part of asymmetrical warfare against the United States of America. And specifically, the Russians have worked it so deeply that they have the Club K container system, which looks like a normal shipping container. Okay, the ones you see on trains or boats or sometimes even on semis. It is a missile platform for a cruise missile, a caliber cruise missile. And their plans are implying that they would infiltrate these into U.S. ports, infiltrate these into the U.S. interior, and then all at once launch everything at the same time. Specifically, though, if these were, let's say, 20 miles off the U.S. coast or in international waters, and they launch this, it would be very difficult to intercept them by the time they get up to EMP altitude. You're talking over 400 miles up, because at that point, that would cover most of the United States. Now, even if it got to half that, it would cover part of the United States. And North Korea has come out publicly and talked about EMP, and yet still people are saying, oh, this is just a conspiracy theory and a waste of money. Look, it doesn't cost, by the most conservative estimates, $2 billion, by the most liberal estimates, $10 billion, to harden our infrastructure here in the United States of America. That is, and I know this sounds horrible, but it is true, a drop in the bucket of our defense spending to do that. And that doesn't even assume local ability and local money and state money to help do this. So Center for Security Policy has this Russia's Pearl Harbor 2.0 asymmetrical war plan document out. I think it's worth talking about it. And some people are saying, you know, why would Russia be that stupid to use it? I try to answer things like that calmly by just having people read Soviet doctrine of what they had actually planned for World War III. It's important. What China has come out and planned for their domination of that part of the world. This isn't about something being stupid or smart. It's about analyzing the threat, listening to what they're saying, analyzing their capabilities, and then preparing accordingly. That is how military planning should work. There's a lot more involved in that, obviously, but I mean, I'm just trying to scratch the surface. All right. More exposure coming out now of Democrat politicians lying about their true intentions. We talked about Claire McCaskill and the gun issue. Look, this is what they do. This is why there's this huge Blexit movement, this huge walkaway movement, because people don't trust that the Democrats' intentions are legitimate anymore, and they see it. For those of us that love freedom, we've been very clear. Now, people have tried to misconstrue my words. People try to do it. But very clear, and not just in my voting record or seeing what Donald Trump is doing at the national level with the rescinding of all of these regulations and rules and some of the things he's changed in foreign policy. Look at actions. That's the point. Look at actions. And, you know, you see often these Democrats will see something on the campaign trail and then go and do something totally different, Washington, D.C. or Olympia. And that is why people are leaving. They're also leaving because of the horrible smear tactics out there the Democrats are using. You know, calling for violence. I mean, I just posted yesterday that there have been outright Democrat calls for violence in Washington state. I want to highlight, you know, I talked a little bit about the fact that the communist flag was unfurled on the steps of the Supreme Court in Olympia. Now, you know, nobody comes out and talks about Antifa action on February 25th, 2018, posting a picture with a woman holding a machine gun. It's actually a submachine gun, saying, quote, "Nobody gives you power, you just take it," end quote. Where was the media on? I mean, these are actual calls for violence. The media is trying to drum up calls for violence on the right. This is an actual call for violence. It's unreal. I mean, people are seeing through this and they're saying, okay, we've had enough of the Democrats. You know, you had these two Minnesota candidates who were assaulted. You had the call for use of guillotines on the GOP, you know, it just goes on and on. And people are sick and tired of government being involved in their lives. You know, $450,000 fine for cutting down your own trees on a Christmas farm, no less. I mean, people are just, they've had enough. And that's what we've always advocated for, just the smallest government possible. And that, I think, is what's important. All right, in that part. Okay, on the regional front, Columbia Basin Project, the project that would irrigate 500,000 acres in southeast Washington, Trump removed a huge barrier of it. And now we're having some people say that they have lost the feed, that we've lost the feed here. Very interesting. I don't know if, I mean, we're still transmitting on this end. So the question, I guess, is whether or not it's received. I'm going to check it here in a second. Yeah. No, we look like we're transmitting. So I'm just going to keep going. I talked about the Columbia Basin Project. I want to move really quickly to the FBI investigation. Against agents for lack of candor in this whole situation with LaVoy Finicum down in Oregon. So, let's see. About time? Yeah, well, Astorita was acquitted. So now they're saying, well, okay, fine, you guys didn't have candor in your investigation, do you think? At least it's being investigated. All right, on the local front, and you know, Joe, if you can hear me in the studio, I'm getting text messages from listeners that we're not transmitting over the air. Can you double check? All right. I'm going to go to the local front now. November 3rd, 10 o'clock. That's this weekend. Doubletree Hotel in Spokane, November 3rd, 10 o'clock. Pastor Jonathan Hansen is going to be there. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the country, what the solutions are. So if you haven't heard some of the full counterstate presentations, haven't heard the full presentations on what is going on here in the country, you want to come to this. If you don't miss any other meeting, you know, you're just like, I just don't have, this is one to prioritize in your schedule to come down to. Okay. November 8th on the internet at Citizens for Free Speech at 4 p.m. Okay. Pacific time. November 8th on the internet, 4 p.m. Center for Free Speech is going to be doing a seminar as well. If you're not familiar with that organization, they're one of the preeminent organizations in the country defending against censorship. So you want to make sure that, you know, you attend that and share it with your friends and family, because this is becoming so important, Center for Free Speech. All right, that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. Hey, check, if you get a chance, go to VoteShea.com. I have my recommendations up there for the election. We're also on iTunes and Podbean. So if you miss a show, you can listen to the repeat at 9 o'clock on the ACN network, or you can go to Podbean or just look up Patriot Radio or Matt Shea, or you can go to iTunes and download it. All right. I'm excited. My guest today is a good friend, John Jacob Schmidt, Radio Free Readout, also the Amron Network. And that's probably redundant. John Jacob, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. There's a lot going on. It's great to have you back on the show.
Yes, there is, Matt. God bless you, brother. Definitely lifting you up in prayers, and you and your family. You are nailing it today. The things that you're bringing up, the things that you're talking about, I think most of the people are largely not directly affected, so it's easy to miss it. I think most people are completely unaware of the level of spiritual warfare, the lies, the attacks that are taking place, and the folks that are out on the front line like you are just taking, you know, one bloody nose after another in the fight for freedom. People don't understand the extent of it. So I want to say thank you, first of all, for everything that you do for us in the fight for preserving liberty and restoring our traditional American values and ideals. And I'm just lifting you up in prayer. Stand by you. I know so many do.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, the delay, I mean, it's even with these kind of weird technical glitches that come out of nowhere, like we had, you know, there's a little bit of a delay trying to get you on because of this.
I was monitoring the feed, and sure enough, right on cue, it drops, right? So you're out there now. It's going out live.
Yeah, I love it. And but it just goes to show you, I mean, there's just so many, you know, weird things that have been happening lately, and it can distract us. But we just need to focus directly on what the Lord has put in front of us, and just keep marching forward. And I really appreciate all the things that you have been doing in the fight for freedom and liberty. I mean, there's just been no question about it. You have really extended a network of patriots across the country. And people are listening now, and I think people are waking up. I think that's what's got the powers that be so freaked out.
Yeah, they are, and it's happening all across the country. We also have a nationwide emergency communications network. All the politics are set aside. When there's an emergency, we've got trained radio operators that take to the airwaves, and they help whoever is in need, whether they're red or blue or black or white. It doesn't matter. They're Americans. They're humans. They're people that need help. And we were put to the test here in the last month or so with two hurricanes, basically back to back, hitting North Carolina with Florence, and then right after that, Hurricane Michael coming up in, you know, through Florida and Georgia. And there were a lot of people in need. We were able to activate the network, affect the rescue of folks that were stranded on their rooftops during the rising waters. And so it was just a very rewarding thing to be a part of. Actually, kind of a nice break from the political world. But it was good. But folks are on the other side of that. Folks are waking up to what's going on in our country. And that network also is made up mostly, you know, Christian patriots. But they're watching what's happening. I think a lot of people really took to heart when President Trump, what, a month and a half ago, had a private meeting with these religious leaders, Christian leaders, and said, these elections coming up are a referendum on your Christian religion, and these people are prepared to carry out violence. It really ties into what you're saying. I think we really need to pay attention to that, those indicators of conflict, internal conflict. And and folks are, you know, they're paying attention to that. Today we're preparing to, you know, support our fellow countrymen in times of need during hurricanes or floods or earthquakes and wildfires. But tomorrow it could be hostile forces trying to overthrow our government. You know, so we don't know what type of national emergency or disaster or civil defense situation we may have to respond to in the future, but we stand ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you, we're getting messages from listeners again that we're off the air. I'm looking at everything on our end, and we are transmitting live. So we're just going to keep talking. And I want to talk about this because it's really, really important, because what we have seen is the taking of Scripture, like they used to do in the former Soviet Union, to twist it to persecute Christians. And I mean, it is really important because we're clear on the standard upon which we stand. The left is not. If you ask the left, okay, what is your theory of warfare? When is it justified? I mean, and Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals says you can do anything as long as the end is good, right? And good according to their standard. So let's talk about when is it appropriate? When is war just? When should we defend ourselves? And this gets at the heart too of the attacks on the Second Amendment right now. I really don't divorce the two. I keep them together.
Well, naturally they have to. I mean, every tyranny or every oppressor has preceded their efforts by disarming its citizenry. You know, so obviously that's something that we have people that have gone through the Holocaust or through the Nazi Poland and everything else saying, whatever you do, do not allow yourselves to be disarmed. And they're speaking from experience. Of course, we hear that the world over. But it's really interesting what you bring up, what you've been covering and revealing lately. This really stemmed from the Rich Higgins report. And that is the correctly identifying the two main threats that are actually converging as an alliance, and that are those are the two counter states of Marxism/communism and Islam, and they are uniting. And really, this is not just a war on the West. This is a war on Christianity. So we're forced to face the question: where do we stand as Christians on warfare? That's another rabbit trail we could go down to, because we would have this discussion. We want to maintain our Christian morals and values and beliefs, but when you're forced into warfare, like the Jews were against their will, and even the Christians in Nazi Germany and Poland, they were forced to defend themselves and their community, their country. We have to make sure that we do that properly. Now, the lies of the left, the false accusations, are that just discussing warfare at all, we're trying to overthrow the government and force a theocracy on everyone else who doesn't believe, and kill everyone who doesn't think like you. What's interesting is it's the Marxists and the Islamists who actually espoused those views. And that was identified by even our founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams went to meet the Muslims to try to negotiate a peace deal when we kept getting our ships raided. They came back basically saying, these guys are not going to stop ever. They were told, we have every right to go after the unbeliever and kill him. And what we're also seeing is the false accusations against Christians that we're trying to force something on them when actually the opposite is true. And just like you identified during the your news section about this poster, this female holding a submachine gun saying, you know, you don't ask for power, you take it, or something to that effect. And so as they are threatening violence and carrying out violence, they're accusing us of the same. And they're so rabid that you cannot present facts to them. They dismiss facts, just like all the false accusations that we've seen against Christian, good Christian patriots in this area, including you, when folks are falsely accusing you of things, if you present them with facts, they will not hear it. They can't hear it. The same thing, but this is, there's nothing new under the sun. If you remember when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, Sanballat and these other guys came to him saying, you know, you need to stop building this wall. We know why you're really doing this, to overthrow the king, and this is a rebellion. Of course, they were false accusations. And even though he said, that's not true, that's not our intent, they wouldn't hear. They even turned him over to the king. They reported it to the king what these guys were trying to do falsely. Same thing with Jeremiah. After he gave them a prophecy they didn't want to hear, he left, and they said, oh, you're abandoning us to join the Babylonians. And he says, that's a lie. That's not true. Well, they arrested him anyway, right? We've seen time and time again, Jesus himself was accused of trying to lead a rebellion and overthrow and challenge Rome and the government to overthrow the government. It was not true. But it ended up in his arrest and ultimately his death. So it's not anything new for us to be falsely accused. Even when we present facts, they won't hear it. Their minds are fixed because it has to be to justify their end goal, and that is the destruction of Christendom, the destruction of Christian followers. This really is a war against the kingdom of God and his people. There's no other way to put it. This is beyond politics. So what you're facing, so many others have faced before. All of us are facing. I mean, many of us that are standing for traditional American Christian heritage and the rule of law, federalism, and the republic, that stands in opposition to the globalists, to essentially those who are at war against God. So it makes us a natural target.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that you have a lot of people out there that will claim, okay, they'll claim that they just want to find the truth, right? And then they'll message you or they'll talk to you and they'll try to say, well, you know, I didn't have any concern, but when you did the rebuttal video, you know, now I've got concern. What are you talking about? We are always very clear. Racism isn't part of any Christian ideology. We've been very pro-Israel publicly, not just with resolutions, but just interacting with members of parliament or people that are consul generals here in the United States from Israel. I mean, that part's totally clear. Then talking about just war theory, the whole point of just war theory is only to go to war as a last resort and then conduct a war in a way where you can't be granted any, misgivings about doing it because it's so horrible. That's the point. And it's actually trying to foment peace.
Right. You see, that response is for the conservative Christians who stand by you that might be confused with this disinformation, desinformatia, right? This is a desinformatia campaign. So that that there, it will satisfy the Christian patriots who follow you, who listen to me and follow me, that are saying, I heard this thing. What's your response? We respond. They're like, oh, okay, I figured it was something like that. But see, we can't make that, we can't present facts to the accusers because their minds are made up. They're rabid. There's nothing you could present them with. See, I have a distinct advantage. That is that I have been with you in private conversations. We've sat around the campfire. We've shared our hearts and our thoughts on things. So I know where you really stand on things. And so I can say that what you're being accused of is completely false. What they're saying does not reflect your true values. So I can state unequivocally the document that they're referring to was a series of sermon notes, not a sermon that you gave either, but it talked about warfare, how they conducted warfare in the Old Testament. What they didn't reveal was all the other documents that talked about warfare from a Christian perspective, things that Bonhoeffer even spoke of, and that is seeking peace at all costs. That warfare is a last resort, that we should pray for our enemies, that we should help the needy, we should free the oppressed, we should take care of the widow. There's documentation that covered seeking peace and Christian charity. But see, they're not going to look at that because that doesn't fit their agenda. They focus on one document that does not reflect your, I guess, your doctrine and your views on warfare. But that's what fits their narrative. But you can't tell them that. They're not going to hear it. Those are facts. And facts confuse people that are trying to carry out or advance a narrative that really is designed to discredit and basically discredit Christians and paint us with a false motives. So you're right. But I know better. I know the same thing. The folks at Marvel have been dragged into this too. Same thing. I've been in these private meetings. I've got to hear their hearts. I've presented these things to them and said, this is what people are saying. What's your take on it? And they've explained it completely to my satisfaction. I know where they stand. They are not anti-Semitic. They are not racist at all.
This is where I think this is important, because you have people who call themselves Christian, who call themselves patriots, who are doing more damage in their ignorance, or in some cases their ego or lust for power, than the folks on the left. And they essentially are becoming the left. Whether unwittingly or wittingly, they're becoming the left as tools. And that's part of what we've been talking about with the two counterstates, the Marxist and Islamic counterstates, and Maoist insurgency doctrine. Part of that doctrine with political warfare is co-opting people, wittingly or unwittingly, to come over and be part of the trajectory toward Marxism or toward an Islamic state. And that's, I think it's so important for the listeners to understand that. What's your take?
Yeah. Well, my take is that Judas was considered a Christian as well. And he was an insider, one of Jesus' insiders as well. But there are some people that are just too tempted by whatever motivates them, the 30 pieces of silver or some type of advancement or seeking the recognition of someone that they perceive to be somebody that's desirable to have their attention, favor, or whatever it is, whatever the personal motivator is. But that's something that, sadly, we're going to have to get used to. The Jews had to deal with that during the Holocaust and the Warsaw Ghetto. There were people from their own ranks who were willing to sell them out. Look at George Soros himself. I mean, he was a Jew, and he was helping sort through all the Jews' confiscated belongings, and he profited from it. You know, so we're just going to have that. And we just, all you can do is really turn them over to the Lord, let the Lord deal with them. Stay on track. Speak the truth. Don't waver at all. Don't soften your message. You don't have to soften your message, because what you were talking about truly was the just war doctrine. And that is, if we are forced to confront a war that we didn't ask for, that all indicators in show that is coming. Wishing it away isn't working anymore, and now we're confronted with it could be an invasion. It could be the hostile takeover and overthrow of our government by a Marxist globalist regime, some type of unlawful overtake of our government, whatever it is. Once we're forced there, we have to reconcile that as Christians, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder, rather. And now here we are, Christians, confronted with the challenge of, where do we stand on this? Love your enemy. And, what does that mean when you're confronted with war? Take the total pacifist role, or where do we stand? We have to answer those questions. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Germany had to answer that question. He started off as a pacifist, and after he saw what the Nazi regime was doing to people, he decided at that point, if I continue not doing anything, then I'm basically condoning this oppression against these people, against Christians, against Jews. And so he actually joined the resistance, the underground, in fighting that evil. What's really interesting is now we're being accused of being Nazis and fascists when they don't even know what the word fascist is. If Antifa got its way, they would, in fact, be implementing fascism. But there again, we're dealing with facts. So,
right. Yeah, I know. And, there's some people out there, who they intentionally are looking for a fight. Like, they'll insult you. Like, you answer a question, they insult you, and you say, why are you attacking me? I answered your questions. And they say, no, I'm not attacking you. And it's really divisive. It's really divisive. Absolutely. And also it gets us off track for what we're really fighting against. And that's what you're just talking about. I mean, look at how many actual calls for violence have come from the left. I mean, I have this Antifa picture that I read, this post on Facebook back on February 25th this year. You have calls for use of the guillotine against Republicans. You've got, Maxine Waters, all these, consistent calls for violence.
Yeah.
And here we're advocating for peace.
Exactly. We're praying for peace, although we'd be foolish if we did not begin preparing for war, but we need to approach that as Christians in the proper way. It doesn't mean taking it over by force and establishing a theocracy. That means defending life, liberty, and property, which we're going to be forced to if we keep going the way we're going. And I've never seen more calls for violence ever, except for maybe during the Bolshevik Revolution or other rise of oppressive regimes that I have today. We've got people calling for blowing up the White House, shooting the president, blowing up, killing any Trump supporter. So this is pretty scary stuff. And not only are they calling for violence, but people are responding to the call for violence. With Hillary Clinton saying we need to stop being civil, that time's over. And Maxine Waters, calling for confrontation. We're seeing those confrontations, and they're not just yelling matches. They're turning to violence. I don't see that going away anytime soon. So as things escalate, based on history, where the indicators of the trajectory that they've set us on, we have a choice: either submit or fight.
That's right.
Those are the two choices coming.
That's right. That's where they want to push it. And that's where communist revolutions, socialist revolutions have always tried to push this. It's a historic fact. It just is. So let's talk with all the patriots that are out there listening right now. Let's talk about what, we understand what the problem is. We understand what these folks are doing. What can we do as patriots right now? I mean, it's obviously we need to get out and vote, get off the couch. And there's been record turnout in patriot areas. It's awesome. We need to get out to vote. And we need to not listen to the mainstream media anymore and become the media. But what else can folks do at the local level to really keep us on the right path of preserving our constitutional republic and continuing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples?
Well, first of all, we are biblically and historically illiterate. We need to learn our heritage, where we truly came from, because we have even young Christians that are regurgitating the lies about our founding fathers, about our heritage, about our founding documents, and everything that influenced the making of America. Wall Builders is probably one of the best resources that I can refer to. I have their Founders Bible. I watched the DVDs, you know, the Constitutional American Heritage series. I'm blown away. In fact, angered when I realized how much of our heritage has been stolen from us and how much we've been lied to. Even those of us who consider ourselves patriots, we think we know the Constitution. We think we know our heritage. And then you start diving into a resource like that, like Wall Builders, and that's just one of them. How much you realize how much you really don't know about our heritage, but it's encouraging because it reinforces what you know in your gut, but you can document it now. And we need to learn that. Obviously, we need to vote. Right now, we cannot be inactive. President Trump's call for those pastors was a call for them to mobilize their congregations to get engaged. And so politically, we cannot sit any of these out. But more than that, we need to learn our heritage and our history. As far as, you know, where we stand, you have absolutely the biblical right to defend life. And we have the legal laws protect you. And as these people call for more and more violence, I'm doing a series right now on Civil War II. You know, what would that look like for us? I just interviewed James Rawls last week talking about this. And this is not something, I know a lot of folks, you know, they're buying another case of ammo for their AR-15 and stuff like that. But that's, we're not going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with these kind of guys. They're going to be, you know, assassinating, kidnapping. Those are the tactics we've seen in the past. So we can anticipate they're going to see somebody with a Trump sticker or something, and they're going to find them dead, shot dead, slumped over the steering wheel at an intersection. That's the type of, that's where we're headed, sadly. And I don't want to get, you know, doom and gloom, but it's just a reality that people have faced all over the world, and people are facing right now in South Africa, in the past. We've seen this type, you know, communist revolutionary type of tactics. So I would say go armed everywhere. Don't be paranoid. Just simply be prepared. It's an insurance policy. You have insurance for your car, but you're not, you know, biting your fingernails and as a nervous wreck, wondering when you're going to get in an accident. It's just an insurance policy. But my recommendation is to always be ready to defend life, liberty, and property. No, get in the Word. And, you know, that document, you can find this on the internet. Just do an internet search. Use DuckDuckGo and go and look up Just War Theory. And it is a decades-old treatise on the biblical approach to Christians being in warfare. When is it justified? When is it not? It's very, very sound doctrine, in my opinion. None of it calls for offensive action, hunting the people down that don't think like you and all that. That's garbage. And even for, I'm just shame on local KHQ running the art of that, a piece that they did this week on you, referring to a document as your manifesto. That was just recklessly irresponsible. That's slipping into yellow journalism. They need to retract that, and they owe you an apology, in my opinion.
I agree. They do. And I think that this is kind of where I want to end. You know, in the former Soviet Union, the name of their news outlet was Pravda, which in English means truth. But it never was the truth, right? And people in the former Soviet Union, Christians, the confessing church, to give it a label, they would just completely ignore everything they put out because it was never true. And they would go to each other to confirm and verify. And you know, you don't just accept things wholesale, but confirm and verify what was actually true. And that's how it operated in former Soviet Union. It really looks like we're coming to that point here in America where the mainstream media is essentially becoming Pravda, where almost nothing that they put out is accurate, or in some cases is just flat out false.
Yes. Well, fortunately, the Christian patriots are aware of that. They're most people, when they read the paper, it's almost like reading satire. They shake their heads and roll their eyes at it today, which is really a sad state for our media to have brought themselves to when they've lost credibility with the majority of their readership. If people just read it for entertainment, I guess there's, you know, if you want to know what's going on with the local street repairs and when they're going to open that road up, and I guess it's good for local stuff like that, but anything political, they've lost credibility. So,
yep, I agree.
I wouldn't even spend a dime on any of them.
Well, real quick, if people want to listen to your own radio show and also visit Radio Free Redoubt, where can they go?
Well, they can go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the Listen to RFR tab, and that's all the instructions for how to listen on Saturday morning on the ACN affiliate Liberty Broadcasting on Saturday mornings. Also on Sunday evenings is our weekly podcast at 8 p.m. live streaming from Radio Free Redoubt. And then, of course, there's also a link if you're interested in emergency communications. Amron.com is how they can learn more about that and get involved.
All right, everybody out there, Patriot Radio Land, please go to Radio Free Redoubt if you've never seen it before. John Jacob, thank you so much for joining me on the radio today. Really appreciate you. And for everybody out there, just keep up the fight. Understand what's happening. Get out, vote, be your own media, get in the Word, be praying, and be acting according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are going to maintain this country. We are going to win.
Amen.
Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.